1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The Israel-Hamas war continues, but talks are underway on a pause allowing humanitarian aid into Gaza and hostages out. Secretary of State Antony Blinken now suggesting the Palestinian Authority should oversee Gaza and the West Bank long term. Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel should govern Gaza for an indefinite period. Former President Trump, a no-show at last night's Republican presidential debate in Miami. The Israel-Hamas war, a top issue, so was abortion. One fiery moment, candidate Vivek Ramaswamy mentioned Nikki Haley's adult daughter as a TikTok user while they sparred over Chinese influence.
In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Your adult daughter, the next generation of Americans.
Haley responded, calling Ramaswamy scum. This is ABC News. President Biden meets with auto workers in Illinois today.
President Biden will praise the UAW for its strike talks that helped reopen a Stellantis factory in Belvidere, Illinois. He is making the trip to highlight how that plant will help create thousands of jobs and promote electric vehicles. Mr. Biden trying to contrast himself to some Republican candidates who he says are less union-friendly, the president promising more blue-collar advances if voters re-elect him in 2024. Andy Field, ABC News, Washington.
New findings about allergies and heart disease. Researchers say sensitivity to at least one food allergen is associated with a significantly higher risk of dying from cardiovascular issues. The association to milk allergies, the strongest, with up to four times the risk. Good news for some drivers. Gas prices now below $3 a gallon in at least eight southern states. Several western states paying far more. Liz Landers, ABC News.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips that you plan in advance, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends for which you make a group chat 3 months before so that nobody or anything is missing. Or your daughter's first birthday party. You planned it with such dedication that instead of the first, it felt like our quinces. The same way you plan each detail for those moments. Start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Protecting your family is the best plan you can make. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden holds a slim lead over Donald Trump in the latest Marquette University Law School poll. Biden leads Trump 50% to 48% among registered voters. That's well within the survey's margin of error. But the Marquette poll also has Republicans Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley leading Biden in Wisconsin. 42% say they have a favorable view of Biden, only 37% for Trump. Members of the nurses' union at UW Health plan to deliver 100 pages of safety violations to the state health department. Union members say most of the issues stem from understaffing. Officials with UW Health say that patient safety is not a bargaining chip for the union. Hospital officials say they are working collaboratively with the union to increase staffing. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Packers headed to Pittsburgh. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers working out in pads, getting ready to face the Pittsburgh Steelers, led by linebacker T.J. Watt. Matt LaFleur on what to expect Sunday.
They pride themselves on physicality, and it shows up all over the tape. They've got a lot of guys that are big, strong, physical, and they made plays, you know, when it matters most.
NBA. Milwaukee squeaked out a win, 120-118. The Bucks versus the Pistons. Giannis Antetokounmpo driving down the court, scores, makes a face at had a Pistons player ejected from the game. Giannis in disbelief. So was his teammate Damian Lillard.
I think it was a character building win. When you're down your best player in that type of moment where, you know, it's you get a technical foul and then you get another technical foul and it was their ball. You know, it's just when it rains, it pours. You know, we had techs. It was their ball. They had momentum. They was confident making shots. Even though we had a lead, the game was changing. And we know in this league, leads go away quick.
That's the Bucks' Damian Lillard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 48. West winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows level off around 31. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, 43. Overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 35.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Where the fans own the team. This is the talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Coming to Northeast Wisconsin, live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay, and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest-serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive. And here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back to hour number two of Mino and the Mayor, coming your way at 97.9 FM, WGBW, 98.3 FM, WISS, and the Civic Media app. Just download it and listen in from anywhere. 37 degrees in Green Bay, Appleton, and Oshkosh. And coming up is a very, very special day for a very, very special group of men and women, veterans of the United States Marine Corps. And there's no entity that takes their tradition more seriously than the Marines. And joining us right now is a great friend of mine, a phenomenal Marine veteran, a Vietnam veteran, a great friend of mine, Chuck Wellens. Chuck, good morning, buddy.
Well, thanks, and I really appreciate being here, John. It's a real honor.
And I'll tell you what, you Marines, I mean, you honor the tradition of the Corps unlike any others, don't you?
That's correct, and it's mainly because we are a smaller unit than other. I'm not downplaying any other.
No.
I have all utmost respect for all branches of the service and those who serve. But
you're the best. But anyway, go
ahead. Yeah. I'm sorry. Thank you.
We'll say it for you, Chuck.
Yeah, thank you very much. Keep the heat off.
But tell them about how you, what brought you into the Marines. I mean, I know the story, but tell everybody else.
Okay, I was... I just wanted something a little extra pizzazz to it, and my stepbrother was in the Marines, and you know, just I knew it was a real honor, and you could just see how a person that, like you say, once a Marine, always a Marine, you know. So I enlisted, but believe me, I can assure you that anybody that stood in them, what they called yellow footprints.
The yellow footprints, yeah.
Either in Paris Island or Marine in San Diego, you all had that same thought about what the heck did I get myself into.
I mean, I've told this story before. The Marine recruiters from around here had me come out to San Diego one time to do a video, shoot video for them and put together a big thing that they would use for recruiting when they go to high schools and everything. So they had me, go right to the airport where the USO was, where the guys coming in, you know, first got together, and then the Marine went out there. And there's this Marine that went out there, and he's probably 5'7", 150 pounds. And like, he was Hispanic. But it's like this small little guy had such a command presence with these young guys. And the funny part is, you know, got to see these guys shooting pool and talking smart and swearing and yelling and blah, blah, blah. And all you tell the guys who thought they were the tough guys of the room.
Yeah.
So then I followed him for the rest of the night. On the bus, to those yellow footprints, to going inside, to getting their stuff, to getting yelled at, to getting their heads shaved, to whatever. And it's like, you want to see a person's world change in the span of about 2 hours? I saw their world change. And some of those guys that were the cockiest, the loudest, it looked they were going to cry, a couple of them. Because it almost seemed like the DIs picked them out just to let them know, we're in charge, not you.
That's correct. And as you look back on it and realize what they were doing, they tear you down and get all that civilian garbage out of your head and then build you up. And especially the time I was involved in, they all knew the majority of us were going to Vietnam. Anybody that couldn't hack Marine Corps boot camp certainly had no reason being in combat. So that was the reason they did it. There was a definite reason.
Yeah. You're doing something right? Out of the five branches, isn't the military the only one that's meeting their quota?
Who, the Marines, you mean?
Yeah. The Marine are the only ones meeting their quota. You know, the recruitment's down a little bit,
yeah.
Chuck.
Well, it's definitely down all over, yeah.
But not with these guys is what I'm saying. And I know that. But I just think that's great because you guys are very proud, although all military people should be, and I think they are. But there's just something special about the Marine. And you've been so kind to us when I was mayor that you invited us to your birthday parties, to the ball. And you do that right. You also look awesome.
Yeah, and it is. It's a traditional thing, and like the local one we have was initiated by one of the. My time in the Marine Corps was very short but very intense, and I grow older, of course, when you first got out, you know, you raise a family, you get married, and everything else, and you don't think about it. But now you look back on it, and I see the impact the Marine Corps had on my life. And my time overseas was huge. You know, you use it every day, and now you think a lot more about it, and the pride and the tradition that's with it is very intense.
And I've been to your ball several times, and I'm just you get goosebumps when you guys do the actual presentation of the whole thing, and going back to what was the name of the tavern?
Tons Tavern
in where, Philadelphia?
Started.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was it?
1775.
And that's where it all began.
That's where it began, and I think it's proper and fitting it began at a tavern.
Absolutely.
A Marine can sniff one of them all 50 miles away.
Absolutely.
You know?
But you guys pay such homage to that tradition, that lore, and the whole thing, and I think that's what's so cool about you guys.
It is. It's just like Jim was saying, we're a smaller unit than most, and we only had two basic training camps, one on the East Coast, one on the West Coast, and so everything that you did, you could affiliate with another Marine when you spoke to him. And say, as time goes on, that pride is really there. And it's very traditional. They're steeped in tradition. They want to hang on to what they, you know, that was early. It's down the line. And you know, you experience that, too. I say it's a real honor. And you find out that saying "once a Marine" is more and more.
But now the thing I get a kick out of, the thing that is so admirable is, okay, so what year did you enlist? You graduated in
66.
66, and you enlisted pretty much right away, right?
I tried college for a while, but I wasn't cut out for that. So and then my dad was upset with me, and he says, "You're going to get drafted." And I said, "No, I'm going to join the Marines." But he got the last laugh on that one. So
did you? I mean, how do I put this? I mean, Vietnam was—it wasn't a joke at that point. I mean, early on, I think people thought it was just this little skirmish amongst. When you enlisted, it was going full bore, and you knew very well what you were getting into. How did you have the fortitude to do that, knowing that you were probably going to be sitting in a jungle in Vietnam?
Well, I'll reach back into your own life. You guys were both young at one time, too.
Yeah,
we were invincible.
Yeah.
You know, but that quickly drained out as my, you know, in the Marine Corps, when I came out of boot camp and, you know, you finally earned that title of Marine, you could have walked into a room and you're going to get in a fight with 10 guys and you'd say only 10. You'd probably get your rear end beat. But, you know, on the same token, that's the confidence they instilled in you. But as the time came closer to the trip overseas, and you began to realize, and I lost a real good friend of mine when I was in boot camp, you know, so you knew this is the real thing. So I guess it was scary.
Yeah, that camaraderie that you enjoyed back then, that's not the right word, that you experienced back then, that still happens today.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, it is. And I mean, it's really just something that's instilled into you. And as I get older, and these this thing, this event will be going to on Saturday evening, you have that real sense of pride when they play the Marine hymn. Goosebumps run down my back yet. And
what was it like your first night where you're in Vietnam? And you're sitting up on the hillside overlooking Khe Sanh, or not your very first night, but when you get brought out to that hill and you're sitting there, did you say to yourself, why aren't I back in Stiles, Wisconsin? Yeah. Why aren't I sitting in a bar in Denmark? Why aren't I?
What was I thinking?
What was that like? What was that like? Yeah.
It was the biggest thing I think that brought you through it is we were all young and we're all in the same boat. So you couldn't sit there and whine about it, but the whole thing was in Vietnam, you were the new guy, you had to learn the ropes, and before you were accepted in the group, so to speak. And we got our baptism by fire not too much later, and I think everything kind of rolled in my direction. I made it home, that was a big thing, but Vietnam was had a significant influence, like I say, on my whole life.
But boy, you guys were so well trained, though, right? I mean, as scary as it was, and many of us couldn't have handled that, right? But I have a couple friends who are Marines. Well, one actually was my chief of staff. You guys are very, we were just very well trained. I'm sure they are in all disciplines of the military, but that had to give you a little bit of confidence, as scary as it was.
Yeah, it was. You've seen the older fellows, I mean, older fellows, but just not.
In their 20s.
Yeah, they were there for probably, that was my first thing was, keep my mouth shut and my eyes open. And, you took all the garbage they handed out to you for being a new guy. But once you established the fact that you were, you understood what was going on, and as you said, Jim, that your fellow soldier, you had so much faith in them,
right?
And they had the confidence. It's like when we were on that hill of Khe Sanh, we were completely surrounded. We were just there. We had to stay there. That was it. The only resupply we got were if the helicopters could get in. But the fact that You lean so heavily on one another.
Right.
It was important.
We're going to keep her on for another segment, Chuck, but we're going to talk about something that you cannot be trained for, that no matter how much training they try to give you, is when you're on a hillside and you guys are surrounded and you hear North Vietnamese voices literally right outside of your bunker, and you know that your life might end in a short time. And it did for some of those guys. That feeling cannot be... You just have to be there for that, don't you?
Exactly. Yeah, it was quite an event. When you reach back into time and think about that.
So. And I remember you telling me that you grabbed your M16, and you're like, okay, if somebody with a different type of helmet comes through my doorway, I'm killing him or he's killing me.
That was it. I mean, the realization. It was at first. It was a total scared and shaking to all of a sudden. A calmness that I got to do what I got
to
do.
And didn't you even say to yourself, I'm not a very good Marine tonight or something like that? Because yeah. you didn't think Marines could get scared or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, I was shaking so hard, that because I was all by myself. And I don't know how long you got to go into that story. But
well, we're going to go into it as soon as we come back. Yeah. I would tell that story because that's an incredible story.
Yeah.
And it was really one of the really big battles in Vietnam for the time. When they wanted to take over those hills, and you guys wanted those hills.
That's correct.
And it was one of the biggest things going on in the world at the time with Khe Sanh when that took place. We're with Chuck Wellens, Vietnam, United States Marine Corps vet, United States Marine Corps celebrating their birthday tomorrow. It's always a huge event. We'll be back right after this. And the folks are rising for another day.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW. Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle. We're out there because you're out there.
Mino and the Mayor.
Very honored to have Chester Markle joining us.
You had some challenges with alcohol. You have done a great job getting that message out.
You know, it takes a long time to get it for some people. You know, my responsibility to every community and every place I go is to give back what others gave to me when I didn't know how to get it.
Weekday mornings from 6 until 8 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. This is the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Hey, welcome back. Mino the Mayor here on a Thursday morning. WGBW, WISS, Marine Corps celebrating their, what birthday is it? 248th birthday tomorrow.
God bless every one of them.
Of November. And we are here with Chuck Wellens, Marine Corps Vietnam vet. And we're talking about a situation Chuck was in. And I can tell you exactly when he was on this hill. I'll never forget this date because it was New Year's Eve, 1967. And the Green Bay Packers were playing in the Ice Bowl. Right, Jim?
That's right. Great.
And he was listening to the game.
Really?
Right? Up in a bunker.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I was relatively new in country yet. And Ted didn't start until the 21st.
About 3 weeks later.
Yeah, so I had no idea. I mean, totally.
What was about to happen?
what lay ahead, and thank God you didn't. But being the new guy, once again, I was on a mortar squad, so we were in touch with our command post. We had a landline radio in the main bunker where the gunner and the A gunner slept. And myself and another new guy slept in a bunker away from there. But you always got the worst watches for radio watch. And so, but one thing, the only luxury we had was a little transistor radio. And we had a very strong sending signal there for Armed Forces Vietnam Network. And I was laying there, I was sitting there at about two in the morning. And it usually just played music from the 60s, obviously. And all of a sudden they interrupted. We're going to have live from Green Bay, Wisconsin. I thought I died and went to heaven there. And I listened.
Close.
I listened to the entire game. I mean, a very iconic game.
Right.
And then they start blurting out the temperatures. And I thought, oh, wow, that's not the way it is here. But anyways, I took my watch and however many after me, I didn't care. And then the signals start fading in and out like an AM signal, you know, right at the end of the game. And I said, no, you know, like, come on, you know, and I knew there was that critical touchdown that Bart Starr made at the end there. And I just heard Starr and touchdown, and I just let out a scream. And the two guys in the bunker, the gunner and the A gunner, they bolted out of their bunks there. And they called me, I will not repeat what they called me, but I always just say they probably weren't Packer fans. So.
Probably what you call me after every show, Jim, same type of thing.
That's pretty cool that, you know, everybody knows the history of that game, that to relate it to a young kid like you, what, 21 years old or something?
I was 20. Yeah.
20 years old. And the impact that had, and you're out there really fighting for our country, and we're cold.
You know something
but that's a cool story.
You want to tell you something else that's kind of funny? So we've got this really good friend, Ron Umentum,
yes,
who lives in Denmark, and he held a big party for everybody from my book, 50 Strong, a couple of years ago, which was just a wonderful time, wasn't it, Chuck?
Oh,
just
it was phenomenal. Great. Yeah.
But anyway, so he's got a picture of him. He was one of the guys on top of the goalpost when they're tearing down the goalpost at the Ice Bowl.
Wow.
A year later, he was in Vietnam.
Yeah, wow. I mean, it was really something. And I can add to I just want to tail off on that, on John's book. What an honor that was. He came into my life at a perfect time. I just lost my wife due to cancer, and John stopped at the house. In fact, I'll never forget that day he came. He called me on the phone, and we met through the veterans agent from
Ron Christensen,
and he was a Marine also. And John was asking him if he knew of anybody with interesting stories from Vietnam when he was prior to writing his book. And he gave him my name, and then he called him. Ron called and said, "All right, if I give him your phone number, yeah, go ahead." That was the furthest thing from my mind. I had so much on my mind then, you know. And although a short while later, he's on his way home from Crivets. He calls. He said, "Mind if I stop in?" And I remember he came to the door, and I wasn't going to say anything, but you know, he still had the living room, had the flowers and everything from my wife's burial. And I thought, well, I better tell him. And I just never forget John Nog. I told him, I said, my wife just passed away 3 weeks ago. And he just, his hands went, well, maybe this is a bad time. It's on the contrary. It couldn't have been a better time. Invited my daughter who came to this event too. And we just sat there, and 3.5 hours later, we had the best time. I felt like I knew him my whole life.
Yeah, we've been best friends ever since, basically.
Yeah, that's true.
Awesome. I want to say that I'm sorry that happened, but I think your life, it looks like it's going pretty well right now. You're here in studio with your daughter and your grandson.
Yes, that's correct.
That's pretty cool.
The little Youper lumberjack.
Yeah, full of energy.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just everything fell into place.
Yeah,
and I'm going to tell you this. In John's book, I didn't realize it until I read it more than once already, and I've met some really this late in life, you don't figure you can meet anybody, you know, to develop that. But the thing that it really caught my attention when I had read their stories, because it's your story, what you experienced and what you thought, in a whole different, your world changes overnight. Basically, you have to do things you don't want to do and see things that are atrocious. And to read the way these fellows think, it was like a group therapy to me.
Cathartic.
Yeah, very, very much so. And I can't thank you enough for that, John.
It was just thank you for you guys sharing amazing. I'll be honest with you, this is no lie. I don't know anybody take this with like, oh, poor me or anything great, but after I interview these guys, you'd be surprised how many times I have dreams about it, about what they went through.
Yeah.
Just vicariously, you know, hearing it from, you know, sitting next to a gentleman like this. It's not like, okay, you saw a movie, you read a book, you watched something. When you've got a guy right here telling about what it was like when he's like, okay, I'm either going to die or I'm going to kill this person. And that's what your world gets reduced to.
Right.
And that's exactly what it was, especially that one night, wasn't it, Chuck?
Yes, the night that the first time I got my baptism by fire, so to speak, that's why I was so scared. But the fellow I bunkered with, they called him over to the mortar pit to break out rounds because they were busting through our lines already. And I was busy making a little cup of hot cocoa or something. And he says, I'll go. And he got seriously injured. It could have been me. But yeah. I was all by myself, and then the second round that came in and blew my whole bunker. There were 7 layers of sandbags, and they were gone. Knocked me out, and I came to, and that's what John we're referring to later is the fact that I just started shaking. I heard Vietnamese voices, and I thought, this is it, you know. And
you're here to tell about it, so
yes, I am.
God bless you.
Go ahead.
I want to talk about the ball a little bit more.
Can we keep you around? We're going to.
Okay.
Are you okay time wise?
Yes.
We're going to keep you for another segment, then, okay?
Go ahead, Johnny.
Awesome. Because there's still more we want to talk about with this, with the Marines and with your experiences in Vietnam and an amazing story about a watch.
Yeah.
You know that story? Yeah. We got to tell this story.
All right.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. We're with Chuck Wellens, United States Marine Corps, Vietnam veteran, Marine Corps ball coming up tomorrow. And you're going to be at the one in. What's the name of the little town where it is?
It's in Kelly Lake.
Kelly Lake.
Yes.
At the Holiday Inn in Kelly Lake.
Yes.
They make a great old-fashioned there, I've heard. Have you heard that, Chuck?
Yeah.
It's out there in the... You have to know
that's
where you're
John
going when you get to the Holiday
Inn. Every establishment.
Yes, but it's quite the thing. The Marine Corps ball is really something. Are you going to have our buddy Wolfie there?
Oh, betcha. Yeah, you betcha.
We got another friend we'll bring on sometime. Call him Wolfman Jack. And he was a Marine veteran, hardcore... Vietnam veteran, and he had some tales to tell too, doesn't he, Chuck?
That's
and he's
for
just
sure.
a wonderful guy.
Oh, just wonderful. Super guy.
One of the last guys in the world you'd ever, if you were in a bar and a fight broke out, it's like you would look to see which side he was on, and you would like join that side.
Yeah, that's you got that right.
Yes, but yet the nicest guy, you know.
I take Chuck on my side. Oh, yeah.
I would take whatever side was opposite of you. Just, all right.
As long as you take a Marine.
Exactly. Right? Quick break. Back with more Chuck Williams, Vietnam Marine Corps veteran. Mind on the Mayor. Back after this.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
ABC News, I'm Liz Landers. The Israel-Hamas war continues, but talks are underway on a pause allowing humanitarian aid into Gaza and hostages out. Secretary of State Antony Blinken now suggesting the Palestinian Authority should oversee Gaza and the West Bank long term. Prime Minister Netanyahu says Israel should govern Gaza for an indefinite period. Former President Trump, a no-show at last night's Republican presidential debate in Miami. The Israel-Hamas war, a top issue, so was abortion. One fiery moment, candidate Vivek Ramaswamy mentioned Nikki Haley's adult daughter as a TikTok user while they sparred over Chinese influence.
In the last debate, she made fun of me for actually joining TikTok while her own daughter was actually using the app for a long time. So you might want to take care of your family first.
Leave my daughter out of your voice.
Adult daughter, the next generation of Americans.
Haley responded, calling Ramaswamy scum. This is ABC News.
Your hometown radio refreshed. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wegehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The bill to use public money to make repairs at American Family Field is expected to go to the full Senate next week. Two legislative committees approved an amended version of the bill on Wednesday. While it is not known if the new bill has enough votes to pass in the Senate, Governor Evers says he would sign it if it made its way to his desk. The Waukesha School District wants a federal court to dismiss a lawsuit filed by a former teacher who was fired earlier this year. Melissa Temple lost her job as a first-grade dual-language teacher in July. She claims the district retaliated against her for speaking out on social media about the song Rainbow Land being cut from a first-grade concert. Among other things, the school district says Temple was airing a personal grievance. I'm Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe, and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. Clear skies today with daytime highs approaching 48. West winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows level off around 31. Tonight, mainly clear skies and quiet. Chance for scattered showers. Tomorrow, 43. Overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Ray Miller. Right now, it's 35.
Looking for a reliable, fast, and unlimited internet provider? Look no further than BugTussle. Whether you're streaming, gaming, working, or learning, BugTussle has you covered. BugTussle has continued to serve the rural communities of Wisconsin for over 20 years by providing the most reliable, high-speed internet and excellent local customer service. Call 877-227-0924 or visit btussle.com to get started. BugTussle, we're out there because you're out there.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Did you know there are some secrets behind the long-running popular Trans-Siberian Orchestra concert?
Organized chaos.
That's my favorite kind of show.
It's the best show ever.
Al Petrelli is the music director, guitarist, and an original member of Trans-Siberian Orchestra. TSO kicks off its winter tour in Green Bay November 15th.
That not only is there two shows in Green Bay on November the 15th, there's a show in Council Bluffs, Iowa. On the 15th.
But that's not all. In 46 days, TSO has 104 shows.
This thing grew up. It opened its eyes 28 years ago. It has grown up and broken every rule.
Breaking rules by taking two TSO bands on the road to perform in two cities almost every night.
The tour ends in Milwaukee, 62 cities after Green Bay. One other secret? Every stop includes a portion of the ticket sales given back to local charities. Learn more at trans-siberian.com. I'm Terry Barr.
From I-43 to I-41, this is the Talk of Green Bay. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store. And text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Thank you very much. Welcome back. Mino and the Mayor here on Good Looking Thursday morning. This segment brought to you by our great friends at Midwest Restoration. These guys are unbelievable. If you have a flooded basement, if you've got a backed up sewer, if you have a fire, you need help, these guys are there for you. They will answer their phone 24/7, 365 days a year. They'll get to your place in an hour or less. They will help you in every way possible. Midwest Restoration. They go above and beyond. They are professional. They are fully trained. They are dedicated to working for your needs. Whatever goes wrong in your house that causes damage, Midwest Restoration is the first call you need to make. It's simple to get a hold of them. 920-MIDWEST. 920-MIDWEST. MWRestoration.com. They are amazing. Now, if you have a flooded basement and you give them a call, you tell them that Mino and the Mayor sent you, you'll get a $250 Visa card, and they'll also donate up to $250 to your favorite charity. That's just the way they do it at Midwest Restoration. You can't find a company around here that is more dedicated to helping people in time of need and helping out the community in so many ways than the fellas at Midwest Restoration. Easy, 920-MIDWEST.
Awesome company. And
awesome.
When you do that and tell them it's Mino and the Mayor that sent you, your $250, a great charity, the Marine Corps birthday, right?
That's coming
there
up.
There you go. And we have a great guest with us today. This is Chuck Wellens, who, if you've been listening, is, you know, one of these young kids that signed up and said, look, I want to serve this country, and I've got a love for the Marines, and you've done it right, and you've got a great life now, and I'm sorry you had some setbacks, right? I think we all do, but your daughter's here, your grandson's here, and you're here celebrating 248 years of love of this country.
The grandson is here? I didn't notice. He makes his presence known.
Little Mino. Yeah, little Mino bouncing off the walls.
Looks like a little Finn from the UP, a little lumberjack.
We're talking earlier about some of your experiences in Quezon and some of the things you've done, but Johnny started to allude to an episode about a watch.
Yes, there was one thing that, by today's standards, doesn't mean much, but at that time was essential to have a watch, and a lot of my parents had given me a new one prior to going to Vietnam. So, because you were on for 2 hours and then off, and if you didn't have a watch,
on guard duty,
you had no idea when it was your turn to relieve and get the other fellow on board. So, a good friend of mine, when we got hit at Quezon on the 21st, we lost machine guns, were one of the main things that. A crew-served weapon that the enemy wanted to get rid of. And the machine gunners had a very short lifespan once they opened up. And so we lost a lot of them that evening. Some died, some were wounded. And so about 2 days after the siege started, so to speak, the lieutenant, my platoon commander, he hopped into my mortar pit and he says, we're going to cross-train you on a machine gun. I thought, oh, cool, till I realized... The reason was because they have a high death rate. And a good, I got trained by a fellow that was relatively new in country, but his name was Troy Varney, and him and I took watch on the same gun every night, and he didn't have a watch. So I borrowed a mine because my bunker mate actually did have one. And as time went on, after we pulled our first offensive, we were on that hill for almost 4 months, and then we pulled off, and we pulled up on Easter of 68. We actually did an offensive, and it was quite intense, and we had a good day in military terms.
Well, didn't you say you guys were like as mad as humanly possible for revenge and just like you?
Yeah, yeah. You couldn't stop them. We attacked what they called Hill 881 North, which was a stronghold for all them months they had been dropping mortars and artillery from those positions. So when we took off on that, it was, these guys were just full of, you know,
run through a brick wall. That's awesome. You guys were, But you had lent this guy a watch that your mom and dad gave you.
That's correct. And he had the watch. And the following day after Easter Sunday, they told us we were on a little knoll, just our company, Kilo Company. And he says, fill in your holes. We're going to chopper you out to the caisson base, which is just a short ways away. So we filled all our holes in, and we got mortared. And my friend, the guy had my watch. All of a sudden, I was helping load the wounded onto the medevac helicopters, and it was him. And I was carrying him to the helicopter, and he was pretty badly injured. And he the side that he got hit on my watch, and he said he apologized for my watch. I just said it just brought tears to my eyes, you know. And all this time, I figured he made it because his name wasn't on the wall. But through Ron Christensen once again, and John started it. John phoned it. I'm not that computer literate, you know. And so John got it. I gave it to Ron. Ron got in touch with, he was from West Virginia. Unfortunately, he had died due to his wounds that a couple years before. Right. But I got to talk to his daughter, and we had a wonderful talk. And it was just, in fact, I'm going to call her again, especially over this period, Veterans Day and Marine Corps birthday. And she's a Southern girl, mama and my daddy, you know. It was fun. So,
but isn't that amazing? The guy, you didn't know if he was going to survive the rest of the day or if they ride the trip back to the base. And here he apologized for getting his arm basically blown off, which Chuck's watch was on.
It was a very emotional moment when I think back to it. And his daughter was so appreciative the time I called her earlier this year on this, and we just had a real, real nice visit back and forth. And she says, my daddy didn't talk much about it. And I said, your daddy was a heck of a guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it was a really, really heartfelt moment.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Boy, you know, people don't understand, Khe Sanh, it was one of the biggest sieges of all of Vietnam. The North Vietnamese wanted that base. You guys wanted to hang on to it as long as possible. I mean, it was an incredible battle. They were shelled almost every day for, 72 days or something?
Yeah,
Chuck?
It was just steady. I mean, but there again, as Jim was referring to, the camaraderie of the Marine Corps, your fellow man, you know, I mean, it was really something that we all shared. We all were on the same boat, and we all had each other's back.
Well, you know what else is funny? When you guys were lining up to take over one of those hills, didn't you see one of your old Premontre classmates?
Yeah, Hubert, and he's in the book. He's in John's book, which it was just ironic. He was in one of my sister companies, and we were out in the middle of, I have no idea where it was at, somewhere in the jungle, and we were leapfrogging companies. The lead company always was doing, you know, a lot of the
point company.
Yeah, the point company is more difficult. So it was hot, miserable, and so we were walking past the company that Hubert was in, my company, and all of a sudden somebody hollers out my name, and there's a guy leaning against the tree, and I look at him. I couldn't for the life of me remember, but I went to Premontre to high school, and I played football with him in high school, and it just didn't register. I knew him, and when he said Hubert, it's the only Hubert I knew in the whole world. So, and I says, well, obviously we couldn't sit there and visit.
Yeah. What the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, here we are, halfway around the world.
But you know what he
nowhere.
Told me? Because he was more in the base, Khe Sanh, that was getting shelled on a regular basis. Yeah. And I said, how horrible was that? He said, well, it was bad. But you know what kept it together? He said it wasn't the officers, it wasn't the whatever. It was just the other fellow Marines.
Right.
You're all in it together. You all supported each other. If somebody was down, it was going to, you know, verge of cracking, the other guys would take over. He said that's what really kept those guys sane, was just the fellow Marines hunker down in their bunkers together.
Yeah, exactly. And I say there's one incident I remember, too, and when it was shortly after, you know, our squad was together. And I anytime you got a care package from home, so to speak, it was my 20th birthday. My parents wrapped it in local newspaper. And it was a cake. It was all dried out, but I shared it with five other fellows in my outfit. And, I mean, just not too etiquette wise, you know. But we the whole thing was devoured. Well, then there was like two black guys that were there, and they start unfolding this newspaper, and they found one from the local newspaper in Ocano Falls, and they always had the little verbs in there from like a Deegan Town News, they called it. And last week was Thanksgiving, and Uncle Walter or Uncle Herbert or something, he ate too much and he got sick, and they get like, man, where in the are you from?
All from the city,
you
know, right?
Yeah, they were laughing, yeah. And I felt good that we were able to
laugh. Small town stuff.
Yes,
that's cool. Hey, the time we got left, tell me about your advice to young kids that are maybe considering a career or a time in the military service. What would you say to a kid that's in high school right now listening in saying, look, I'm thinking about it?
I would say it's one heck of an experience. You grow up, it's something you'll carry the rest of your life and you're very proud of. You know, regardless of what branch of the service you were in, it follows you all through life and certainly helps you through some bad times. You know, it has me. A lot of people say, well, I was never in a war. You were in the military. That don't matter. You sacrifice the portion of your life, more than likely your young life, to serve your country. And
the thing is, once I tell people this all the time, because I had a guy say that to me the other night when I spoke in Shawano. And the guy said, yeah, I was drafted in 67. And he said, but I was sent to Fort Carson for most of my thing. I didn't really feel like I... And I said, no. I said, don't ever feel like... I said, no. Anybody that raises their right hand and says they're ready, willing, and able to put their life on the line for their country, that's where... And because after that, it's out of your hands anyway. Where you get sent, no matter what they promise, no matter what, that's out of your hands. So that's where the courage comes from, is raising that right hand.
That's for sure. And I say, to me, it was such an important part, a very small part compared to some people like Ron Christensen or Danny Connolly, you know, that actually made a career of it. But... very intense, and I'm so proud to have been.
Can you do one more thing, Chuck? Can you read a little bit about the guy that's going to be honored at your ball this
weekend?
Yes,
I can. The fellow they have this year is the guest speaker. He's 91 years old. His name is Steve Castor. He's from this area. He served active duty 25 years, started as a private, and then he retired as a major. So in the Marine Corps, they call him a Mustanger.
That's right, yeah.
And he went up through the ranks, and he had 10 brothers, all who served in the military, and one of them was killed in World War II, I understand, in combat. So, I mean, the guy's got one heck of a resume, and we're looking forward to it.
That's awesome.
Wow. He might even outdo that second speaker we had. And his name was John Miner. So.
Well, he sucked. Well, this is great. Chuck Wellens, representing the United States Marine Corps here. And one last quick thing, Chuck, though, and this happens even with some of the young guys coming back that have come back from Iraq and Vietnam. You didn't come back as a normal